Blog Talk Radio. strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, Yahuwah's Radio, special edition called Thursday Evening. Worldwide. National radio broadcast special edition called Thursday Evening is now on the air. I'll be your host. My name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We got a memo saying I will be a few minutes late coming in, and he'll tell all about the broadcast on the special edition called Thursday Evening. And he'll also get a chance to talk to Brother G. Evans if he remains on the line till our elder come on the broadcast. So I'm in a meeting, Seer, and once I come out of that, I switch right over and I give a commentary about who bring the broadcast and what this thing is all about. All I can tell you on the international side is packed to the max, over 400,000 plus on the international side, so our elder will take care of that at the time appointed. So what we're going to do, we're just going to open the line up and hopefully that Brother G. Ellis will hold on to the elder get here, and then you hear the elder talk that good talk, and then what we'll do, we'll just hold out until the elder get here. All right, let's see what we'll be. Who coming on stage for the nice episode part number 16? Oh, we see the young lion, Brother Micaiah. One of them young lions, them up-and-coming teachers out of Camp One. You know, the one that he's pretty famous now with his black book. Because he looks through that black book and he peeps all through the 12 that's anointed in Camp One. And he's making his business to get in contact with his brothers and sisters' people. And that's what it means by 4 verse 9. Somebody gonna have that spirit to look into that black book, which the young lion already have. And he'll say, okay, let's see. I'm one of these 12 right here, and I ain't going nowhere unless the other 11 on the same accord with me. So me to line up, and no, ain't nobody else going nowhere until all 12 is in order. And Yahuwah is not going to intervene till all 12 is in order. So we got to be in order. That's all I can tell you. If we in order, Yahuwah is going to make us move. If we continue to think it's all about ourselves, we're going to continue to lose until somebody steps up and says, hey, listen, where can I get in? Where I've been in it. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to learn the word of Yahuwah. It ain't about bodies. It's about knowing what the Bible is saying. You got to know your foundation. If you don't know your foundation, everything works against you. You might go over that too. We don't know. But right now, I'm going to bring the young lion in by saying, Brother Micaiah, Tyler Yahdah Judah, Yahuwah beat you that sea right here.
And Yahuwah bless you there, dear Israel, of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, young lion. So that's a great thing you do is Yahuwah put the spirit on you to look at that book and see in the 12. Because one thing about it, y'all all tied to the hip. Y'all got the anointing on you. You're tied to the hip. And once the 12 is on the same page, Yahuwah is saying, bottom line, I got no choice to make my move according to my word. That's it. He's going to make his move according to his word. His word was written. Once the 12 is able to make a sound decision according to what's written, then guess what? Yahweh is going to intervene. So the seer's job is the one thing. It's laid out, show you what the Bible's saying, put it out there. It's up for the 12 to put it together and discuss the righteous act among self. And Yahweh come in from there. All right, let's see who else is going to be on stage for this special edition called Thursday Evening. And we see Mother Eve, tribe of Yahdab Judah. Mother Eve, tribe of Yahdab Judah. Yahweh beat you there, see Roy.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. See Lord. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother Eve. Well, Mother Eve, that's a great thing. You held down in grand style yesterday. You know, one thing about we know we call it always the hand of the other nation will make their move. It's how we got to respond to it. See, once we respond according to just as Yahweh, that's the game changer right there. All right, we know Mother Z is saying, okay, sir, you know, all I'm doing is sitting at my desk with my book open. I will give a commentary on what's going on after I hear something. I ain't heard nothing yet. So what you bringing me on for? Wait till I hear something and I take a note of something, then I give you a commentary on something. Well, that's fair. That sounds good. So we're going to do a young line. We'll look right down at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we can get something going on the special edition called Thursday Evening. Before our elders come in and tell us all about the broadcast over 700,000 strong on the international side, majority of them is not pro six anointed camps. We understand that. But our job is to talk some dust, says Yahweh, and we will. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What's going on there, young man?
Book of Luke chapter 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
Yeah, the righteous spirit will teach us in the same hour. And that's true. But what do the righteous spirit tell us, young lion? What do the righteous spirit tell us about ourselves? Let's see, what was we called back in the days when Yahweh had his hand over us real good? Let's see what we can read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 17 and 51. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 17 and 51, let's talk a little bit there, young lion. Come on.
Okay. We're going over to the book of Exodus. We're going to read chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse 17 and verse 51. The book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 17 reads, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this self-same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever.
Hold that right there. What he just called the children of the book, what did Yahweh just say? He gave you a title. He gave you something to point at. What great big old word he just said in verse 17 that we have to put a note on, young lion? What did he say? What big word he got there?
Army.
Brought your army. You see that? So, children of Israel, you was a united army. When you came out of slavery, bondage, whatever you want to call, you came out as a anointed army. Did you know you was once an army, see, right? Yeah, but look right now, you ain't nothing. You know why? Because everybody else got a piece of you, and you can't put the bended Lattimore on it, and you can't straighten it out. And that's where we come in at. We once was an army. Yahuwah called you an army. He said, look here, I'm bringing an army out of Egypt. So it wasn't no true individual, it was an army. You see that? So now we got to talk about that. That's what Yahuwah called us. So if he called us an army, what do we call ourselves today? Huh? What do we call ourselves today? Everything but what the Bible says. First Peter 1, what it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 51 reads, and it came to pass the selfsame day that Yahuwah did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their army.
So, why nobody told us that about the children of Israel? Let's go to Exodus 13 and look at verse 18. 13, verse 18.
Okay. We're going over to Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to read verse number 18. The book of Exodus chapter 13, verse 18 reads, but Yahuwah led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt.
What's that mean? That means it's all together, see, right? That means they was all a hornet, like a hornet's nest. You see a whole bunch of bees all tied in, hook, line, and sink them. That's how we came out. Why we don't have that spirit now? See? Because some got to be shown why we don't have that spirit now. But that's how we came out. We came out as a hornet. And you know one thing, if you stick your hand in a bee hornet, you ain't got to be still covered. Boy, if every last one of them is going to be trying to get a piece of that hand, you just pick your hand off in that honey. Go ahead. Beat that hand off in that honey anytime you get ready. And watch. Them bees, it's going to, every last one of them there, it's going to turn right around and attack that hand, your body, your eyes. Even try to get up on the bottom of your feet when they knock you over. See, they didn't play that scene right here. So that was the children of Israel had in the beginning, but they don't have it now. Why? Because some things that happened that you need to know about it, and that's why that black book is so important to the 12. So we're going to pause on that. Ayala finally came to the broadcast. We know he's already on the... He already had a lecture he was on, so we're going to bring him on now and let him tell y'all about the broadcast. Brother G.L. will say, listen, see, I'm only waiting on the elder to come on. And once the elder say what he got to say, I can go do something else. All right, there, Brother G.L. The elder finally made it to the broadcast, so when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, y'all quite busy there, Steve Ray.
And Yahuwah bless you, Seals of the Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there. Well, Brother G.L. was asking how long I got to wait before I hear the elder open up in grand style. He said, how long do I got to wait? Well, you ain't got to wait no longer. Elder, you on the clock. Take your time. Come out.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Well, you're right. I was in a conference. Sometimes they get extended, just like it does for yourself. And it's always for a good thing, because I have to say and admit, truly, we are lucky to have a program like this with a seer and the people that are dedicated to the word like we are, because there's so much confusion out there today's date about different Bibles, different Yahuwahs. Some preachers saying there is no Yahuwah. that this is all done by man. And these are things that have to be laid out so that the people understand. Because you'd be surprised the impact of a non-believer or a wrong believer can have on someone that's trying to learn. It's like going to school and being taught something that the teacher thinks that he knows. And when you get ready to use that knowledge, you find out you don't know nothing because you were not taught right. Like I heard a preacher telling me just the other day, you know, what about Adam's other wife before Eve? Adam's other wife before Eve. This was an actual conversation. Yeah, Lilith. I said, well, how many ribs did Yahweh take out of Adam to make wives? And after he made Lilith, what did he do with her? He banished her from the garden? Or what did he do? Give her to Satan? What book are you reading? So you found out people are reading all other kind of books with different information. That's a dangerous thing. Stay in the King James Bible, the first one that was converted into English. This will help guide you in the correct direction, along with people that speak that what they know out of the Bible. Maybe when they start talking about Lilith, they didn't go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, to read how many wives or helpmeets that Yahweh made for Adam. That's a pretty serious thing to hear a preacher say that and actually teach that to his people. So I think this program does a lot to those that are learning. And don't just take time to listen to me. Take a time to listen to this program and get a belly full of Yahweh so that you may walk in righteousness to be able to teach or show this word to someone else that you have learned. And I want to use the word correctly. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching. As you always hear me say, loud bump the gums contest for righteous learning. No, you don't want to try to out-talk someone that's talking so loud. You want to let them talk. And like the seer say, turn around and throw a verse on. Stay in the book. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending this live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. And we come to you live, as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's word. Being questioned, how can you people get this much out of this one book? We've said many times before, it comes from connecting the books, the words of Yahweh, to health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We get all this and much more from this one book. And actually, this is information that you all came to seek and have to look no further. You've now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you for this learning from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class, as I mentioned. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That current class time is from 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, put in tribeyada.com. And after you click on it, just under this big iron, you're going to see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you may see menu. But if you can, after clicking in, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I have to ask myself, or you have to ask yourself, many people have said, does Yahweh come down to collect them? Well, I guess they forget. Yahweh with his word can create all. So this is the question that remains. How is it done? We receive Yahweh's word that he has given us through the protocol, and we do nothing. In Malachi chapter 3, it reminds us, chapter 3, verse 9, and verse number 10. 9 says, you're a curse with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now there within, said the Yahweh of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. After reading this, a man of wisdom asked me one day, do you know what tithes and offerings mean, Elder Tibbs? I replied, yes. He said, let me give you a verse. Now, those of you who are listening probably heard this before. He gave me the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 3. So he says, there can be no good to come to him or her that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. Well, I always remind everyone that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver, and also donations to the ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and also mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. All this is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh live, also for building a school, which is very well needed with the bad teaching out there today. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live program. This feature is available during our live broadcast time. To get there, just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you do that, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God Dial, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses. The first is tribegoddial@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is an international number where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As I said before, you will only receive a discouraging dial tone. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and a correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, while we're speaking, we might ask, please do not contact this year via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's pretty busy with the WCC. The New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen in the past. And now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you only hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Friday's program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live, and after clicking on it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God. Choose the program that you were late logging into, or at that point, you can look down our list and pick any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during our normal broadcast, for your information, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Paltalk, being listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and you'll find this is where Yahweh's word is also working for your Bible education. Well, my narrative to answer the on-the-table topics discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs along with Seer Israel riding a shotgun. During this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find the broadcast ends before teaching time. Our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. But as a reminder, when we're giving scriptures to speak by the seer, remember to be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahweh flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And so that listening can continue and begin, we will turn our program back over to our seer Israel and say, Alu Yahweh.
All right, Hill, hallelujah, you're absolutely right on your end. That's good talk. Although we lifted up on the African-American Negroes, but we not African-American Negroes. And matter of fact, because they give you that label, that don't make that who you are. Brother Micaiah, look at your Compact Bible Dictionary. And look up Ham. Find out about Ham. I'm going to read that because although we listed up under African-American Negro, but we are not the African-American Negro. And we can look at their own book and see who are we to get our to get back on what was on, again, although we listed upon the African-American Negro, but we are not African-American Negro. Page 213, what it said, are you on the Bible Dictionary talking about Ham? Come on.
All right. We're going to read from the Compact Bible Dictionary on page 213, Ham. Ham, the youngest son of Noah, born about 96 years before the flood, and one of the great persons to live through the flood, he became the progenitor of the dark race, not the Negro, but the Egyptians, Ethiopians, Libyans, and Canaanites.
Good. Good. He came the progenitor of the dog race. So he was progenitor of the dog race, but not the children of Israel, the Israelite. So they all dog races. Mm-hmm. They all dog races. Book letting you know that the one you call children of the book, the children of Israel, the Israelite is a dark race of people. In their book, that they'll see right. So although we lifted up on the African-American Negroes, but we not. We are the children of Israel. The Israelites. That's who we are with the Bible open. All right, good enough. Let's get back to what we was on there, young lion. So now we found out that he was reminding Moses what he did in Exodus 3:18. Read that again. He reminded Moses something he did in 3:18. Exodus 3:18. See, Yahweh right now, he have birthed him a nation. What do you mean? What you mean there, Latter-day Saints? What do you mean he birthed him a nation? Well, he did. Hey, Mother E, he birthed him a nation, Exodus 4:21 and 2. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, Mother E.
Okay.
Because the Latter-day Saints, what do I mean by he birthed a nation? Well, let's take care of the Latter-day Saints right now. He did birth a nation. And let's see what their name is going to be in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. What's your name, Mother E? Come on.
Book of Exodus, chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. Verse 21 reads, And the Yahweh said unto Moses, And thou goest to return into Egypt. See that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his mind, that he shall not let the people go. Verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus said the Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
Israel is my son, even my firstborn. But he said he's going to harden Pharaoh's mind.
Right.
He's going to harden Pharaoh's mind. I wonder why he's going to do that. Oh, Mother White, I'm going to take care of that a little bit. Because there's no accident on a lot of things that's written. Why is he going to harden Pharaoh's mind? Let's find out. Let's see what we can read. Why is he going to harden Pharaoh's mind? We'll see, can we read why? What is the reason that he want to harden Pharaoh's mind? Let's see, can we find out in Exodus 14?
Exodus 14.
Verse 21. We're going to Exodus 14, Mother. Mother,
okay.
Why do the Almighty move your heart and Pharaoh's mind? We're going to Exodus chapter 14 and pick up at verse 21. Let's find out, Mother. Let's see, can we read, why do he want to harden Pharaoh's mind? Why so? Let's talk about it, Mother. Come on.
Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Yahweh caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were all walled unto them on their right hand and on their left. 23, and the Egyptians pursued it and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 24. And it comes to pass that in the morning watch, Yahweh looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Verse 25. And took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel. But the Yahweh fighted for them against the Egyptians. Verse 26. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horses. Verse 27.
Mm-hmm. That's good enough, Mother. That's good enough. I did miss my great hit. I missed the hit that I want, but that's good enough. No, I already got it. I mean, that's good enough, but I did miss my great hit. when he said that he said some things. So you made a final statement that mother. You said, well, what do you say, verse 1? You got something to add to that mother something? I heard you just say something. So you got something to add? You got something to add on? You got something? What you got? Come on. What you working
I was
with?
Looking at Exodus chapter 7, verse 3.
Yeah, what do that say, mother? Let's
okay.
Bring that out for this national audience. Whatever you put on you to bring out in 7, verse 3, you might as well bring it out. Come on.
Oh, okay. It said Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. And I will harden Pharaoh's mind and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt.
Okay, you want to give me a little bit more on that? What I was really looking for, mother, is when he said that he wants to lay his hand on it. See, the reason he hardened, see, Yahweh will harden you.
First Paul.
They like went off.
Well, verse
Paul,
5.
Bring it out.
For when
bring
five.
It out.
Paul, mother.
Bring it out. Verse 4, mother. The young lion said verse 4.
Verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hands upon Egypt and bring forth my army and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by a great judgment.
Wait a minute. You covered a whole lot of ground in that. You mean the children of Israel was called what again? They was called what again? What were they called, mother?
Okay.
Make it real plain. What is it? Is on the subject that we on right now in verse 4. Yahweh called the children of Israel what? In 7 verse 4? Give me that great big old word.
It said, and my people, the children of Israel.
Okay, come on, young lion. Bring it out.
And bring forth my arm.
Oh, yeah.
Bring forth my arm. The children of Israel, once upon a time ago, was called, they wasn't called African-American Negroes in the eyes of Yahweh. They was called Yahweh's army.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Christian church, mother, they love to get up and say, I'm in the army of the Lord. But see, they have butchered up that the army of the Lord is the army of the children of Israel. You see that, mother? Now, we heard plenty of songs out. Our grandmother got up there and said, come on, Granny, get up there and sing, Granny. And the first thing Granny going to say, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. You do?
Right.
That's the first thing they'll start singing, mother. But they never tied in where it's coming from. It's 7 verse 4 of Exodus. So read that again, mother. So next time you hear when they have a granny or grandpa step up and say, go on, give us one of them old songs of the past, and they'll start playing, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But see, mother, according to Exodus chapter 7, verse 3 down to verse 5, can you take your time and just read it? Just read it real plain, mother. Read what's really going on in Exodus chapter 7, 3, 4, and 5. Come on.
Okay. Exodus chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. Verse 3. And I will harden Pharaoh's mind and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my army and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. Verse 5.
You see that, Malcolm? Go ahead.
And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Yahweh when I stretch forth my hand upon the Egyptians and bring out the children of Israel from among them.
See that, Mother? So, Mother, what is this telling us? It's telling us that once upon a time, the children of Israel was acknowledged that they was the army of Yahweh.
Right.
And Almighty said, I'm going to bring my army, the children of Israel, out from among them. Mm-hmm. See, Mother, where this history right here is never taught, that it had nothing to do with color, because the Egyptians was a dark race, and so was the children of Israel was a dark race. So it had nothing to do with color, Mother. Because the reason why he won't bring them out, read verse 7:1. It was the reason why he was going to bring them out, Mother.
7:1.
In 7:1, hey, Mother, it should tell us something, the reason why he had to bring them out from among the Egyptians. And 7:1 would tell us, will tell us something. Here's 7:1. I'm all over the place right now. I'm looking for a something that was said by Pharaoh. Something was said by Pharaoh, young man. He made a profound statement about something. He said something.
6:1.
And he made a profound statement, that young man. He said something. He said something about his knowledge.
Oh.
Something said about his knowledge. Can you help me out there, young man? He made a profound statement about his knowledge.
Okay, about knowledge?
Hold on. But I was going to hit just verses. So I'll tell you what, while you're there, come on back to 5:2, because I was going to hit just flat-out scripture reading. I was going to hit some flat-out scripture reading. 5:2, read it there, young man.
Okay, the book of Exodus, chapter 5:2. Verse 2 reads, and Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Yahweh, neither will I let Israel go.
You see that? See, in the beginning, when Mother read 4:22, he birthed a nation of people called Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. And according to what we read right here in 5:2, the sons of Ham understood that the people that was in their land had a biblical name that traces all the way back to Shem. Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. Now, we don't know that history right now. And that's why Yahweh say, since they don't know that history, I'm going to pull my people up out of there. See, if you're in a setting, children of Israel, and you got the Bible open, But ain't nobody talking about the children of Israel, the Israelites. Then you have to dismiss yourself from that conversation. But why would you bring the Bible in if that ain't what you're going to talk about? And that's what's written all in the Bible. We just find out that the army of YHWH is the children of Israel. And he makes it plain that that's who his army is.
Right.
But why we have to wait until the six anointed camps come in and just read the Bible and comment afterwards? Why is it not in the curriculum? Why nobody know who you are? We'll find out why a little bit later. So now, so we got that out the way, showing you that he addressed these peoples as Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. So write that down, daughter-in-law. I see you got your book open real good. You write that down, because you got a little Israelite sitting there right down there on your lap right now. Write that down, and when you sing the songs, you plant the seed in grandbaby's mind right now who she are, and she'll grow into it. Don't wait until the system tell grandbaby that I am African-American, Negro in color, and all that. No. It's your responsibility why she's on your lap. Read to her who she are. Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. She might even say that before she said father or mother. If you plant it in right now. What you mean, WCC? What about a case in point? Now you want a case in point on that too, huh? All right. I'll give you a case in point on that. I'm going to give you a case in point. See, we don't mind giving you a case in point. In the book, Brother Micaiah, or the book of Luke, I want a case in point, right? Let me show you how powerful the word of Yahuwah is in the book of Luke. And that's why, mothers, you got a great responsibility. By the time before they even said, Mama, Dad, you have to make sure you is planted in them the word of Yahuwah. That's your responsibility. And if you do that, a change will come. When they go out the door for the first day of school, they already ready, because you're taking care from the get-go. Don't let the system raise your baby's mind. So now, let's see if we get a case in point. Young man. We go on in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to take care of the WPC. Let's see in verse 41. Luke 1, 41. Take notes, because see, here's the point. If you mothers that have these offsprings, these Israelite descent, it is your responsibility to get to working on them even well that we can read. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Let's read down a little bit. Let's see if we get some young line. Micaiah, come on. Luke 1:41, come on.
In the book of Luke, chapter 1, we reading verse 41. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 41, read. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the righteous spirit. Verse 42.
Stop right there. Wait a minute. You mean the baby was in the womb, and when they heard the right thing, salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in Her womb? Yeah, see, Raya. The baby leaps in the womb. The baby is listening in the womb. Mm-hmm. So you don't want the baby out on the breast. You got to come on with the come on. You got to make sure the baby in the right environment. You got to make sure the baby is hearing some dust as Yahuwah. Because even in the womb, the baby leaps. Is that what we're reading?
We read.
So in the womb, you start telling the baby who you are. The baby leaps in the womb. And what happened next is part of two.
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 42, read. Luke, chapter 1, verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.
You see that? Well, what kind of voice, folks? A loud voice.
Loud.
A loud voice. Listen, mothers, you got to understand this thing. Grandmothers, mothers, you got to understand this thing. This thing starts even before they even walk. Before they even call you by mama, dad. Listen, you supposed to be planting this seed in them who they are so they can be clear before they even step out. Before they even start walking, they already know who they are. See? 46th verse.
Hallelujah. Wow. The book of Luke. Chapter 1, verse 43 reads, and when is this to me, that the mother of my Yahuwah should come to me?
44.
For lo, as soon as the voice of your solution, or
salutation.
Yeah, I'm stumbling right now. Salutation sounded in my ears. The baby leaped in my womb for joy.
The babe leaped in my womb with joy. The babe leaped in my womb with what? With joy. So you see that? Because here's the point we're trying to take. See, one of the greatest mysteries in understanding the word of Yahuwah. The babe leaped in your womb. And you wonder why? I'm going to show you why the babe leaped in the womb. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Let's do a little educating along the way. We're going to do a little education around the way and find out exactly what's going on. See, a lot of times people just don't know. That's why it's so important for those that have the black book is to go over this information. We don't know who will make a statement to activate the information. So when they make the statement, we don't run from this information. We run to it. Because we know we, the ministry, is going to take care of this business. This is going to be the ministry. Voices of the True Israelites. The Six Anointed Camps. Call for details and see how close you are. 224-600-5579. Get into one of the camps, have big ears, little mouth, and learn something to help yourself and your offspring. Don't keep waiting on the system to teach your babies, because they're going to misteach them and have them looking up all on the side of your head because they've been mistaught, but you allow it because you didn't have the proper information. So now when do you start talking to your babe that's in the womb? Immediately after conception. Immediately after conception. When you find you're pregnant, then you got to make an adjustment then and there. Because right now, the babe leaps with joy. So he ain't leaping with joy unless he or she already knows something. You know why she knows something? We're going to show you why. We're going to 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 9 through 11. What it say? Brother Makai, what it say?
Okay, we're going to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Verse 5 reads.
Nine to 11, y'all lying. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 down to 11. Take your time there, y'all lying.
The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 down to 11. Verse 9 reads, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. 13. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things. Neither should there be any remembrance of things that are to come, but those that shall come after.
Now what he's saying? He said the thing that you carrying have been here of days of old. It ain't no such thing by you got no brand new baby. That baby might be a big dignitary, but that baby would never know that, because see, Yahweh do something he do in 12, verse 7. Hey, mother, in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, do you know something that Yahweh do in 12, verse 7? What he do in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7? You know, see, that's why I say, we don't know where we're going, but we know somebody going to activate something. And when they activate something, just go down that road. Because everything is Bible. It's for the children of Israel, the Israelites, by the children of Israel, the Israelites, and to the children of Israel, the Israelites. And that's just the way it is. So now in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, mother, can you help those see out what it says in 12, verse 7?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto Yahweh who gave it.
You see that? When your granddaddy died, Yahweh takes that same spirit of your granddaddy, grandmama, and put it in his hand. The body goes back to where it came from. But that spirit goes back to the Almighty. So the spirit is in his hand. Do you know what he do with it? Let's go to 12:18, mother. Mother. E. 1 Corinthians 12:18. The spirit of your parents, your mama, your grandparents, all the way back. He got it in his hand. And in 12:18, mother, let's talk about it in 1 Corinthians 12:18.
Okay. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 18. But now, as Yahweh said, the remember, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him.
Okay. Now go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. So he got the spirit in his hand. He placed it whenever he want to. So don't think that you got a brand new baby. That baby have been here once upon a time before, but have no knowledge of it. That's the part that was removed, was the knowledge. So he recycled that same spirit he got in his hand. And when the time appointed, look what's written in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Yes, ma'am. Yes, what it says in 1 verse.
Book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 1. Then the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I know thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a seal unto the nation.
Now look at that. Before you came out of the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah, the seer. Thank you, mom and dad just got happy. No, I already set it up. I made that happen. So understand, Jeremiah, you was on a mission even from the womb. I'm the one placed you in your mother's womb. I knew the same thing we're trying to tell you mothers. The young fetus you have, the sons and daughters, they from old. You know how old they from? Come on, Brother Mackay, let me show you how old they from. Let's go to Micah chapter 1, verse 3. Let me show you how old you're looking at. You're looking at that little brand new baby. That baby is up old. Let me show you how old that baby is in the book of Micah 1, verse 3. Come on, that Brother Mackay, how old is that baby? Read verse 2. Read verse 2, let me get happy. Micah, chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. I need to know how old that baby is.
Okay, the book of Micah, chapter 1, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, hear, all you people, hearken on earth, and all that therein is, and let Yahweh...
Now what you read? Hey, hold on. You ready to read again what you want to read, honey? How about the 5th chapter, verse 2 and 3 of Micah?
Oh, thank you,
the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 3. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, read. But you, Bethlehem,
Ephrathah. Come on, that young lion. Come on, young lion. Get those see it happen.
Book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you be less little among thousands of Yahdah Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth. Unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Verse 3.
Right there. His going forth from everlasting. So what you gotta understand something, that when you talk these brand new babies, and when you go to a funeral, when you start crying about, listen, that same spirit is returned back to Yahweh. He placed that same spirit. Your same grandmother is your granddaughter. And so on and so on and so on. You'd be surprised how old you really are and the understanding you need to understand. Yahweh take that spirit of your parents because you is their parents. That baby right now is a parent from yesterday's, but they don't have the knowledge of it. And that's the power of the Almighty Yahweh. So that's why you be very careful not to follow the rules and regulations of Yahweh. Now, so we read in 1, 9 through 11. Now, Brother Mackay, just give me 4:16 to make it sound good, please, Jackson. 4:16. See, understand one thing. Yahweh, you never know the thoughts of Yahweh. You never can get there. All you got to do is follow instruction. So you see, you parents, especially you mothers, the day of conception, start teaching that fetus, come thus says Yahweh. Tell them in the womb who they are. Because the remembrance of their past, they don't know. You got to let them know exactly who they are, and don't let the world put it on them. So you start from the day of conception in the womb, speaking to your fetus that Israelite descent from the womb. You got it? Good. So you see what's going on. He told Jeremiah. He said, wait a minute, Jeremiah. I knew you both. I'm the one set this thing up for you to be here. I know when I want somebody to be here, just like right now. You know, you got a problem with the old seal today, but you're on the way back. It's through the information of the six anointed camps. So we're going to show you where you failed at and how to get back on it. But we're going to read it all. Ain't nothing the world can do about it. Because you can't take what the Yahweh have put in us from the... You can take all the worldly things like last night's lesson. But you can't take the understanding of the Yahweh. And that's why these networks is packed jam. Listen to Voices of the True Israelite. All over the world. Got it? Good. What you reading that, young line?
We're reading the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse number 16. Verse 16 reads, there is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
You see that? So it's no end to nobody's race. Everybody's here. Everybody was back in the days of old is back here today. Everybody's here. Either you wicked or good. He got them all. He got the wicked back. The wicked is back. And you can watch the wicked unfold itself before your eyes. The wicked is back. The good is back. It's up to you to understand the word of Yahweh. But your knowledge of Yahweh can prevail. They're going to take down the wicked. How you take down the wicked? It's understanding your position and who you are according to the scriptures of the Bible. Now go to the 6th chapter and give me verse 10 and 11. Then we'll get back to what we was on. 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Brother Micaiah, read verse 10 and 11.
All right, we're going over to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to chapter 6. We're going to pick it up at verse number 10 and verse number 11. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6, verse number 10 reads, that which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Verse 11. Then there be many things that increase vanity. What is man the best?
He said that thing that been already here is man. That man, you already been here, man. You already have been here before, man. You got it? Then he made one more statement there, young man, pertaining to the same conversation. He made one statement that we need to read. Let's see what he says in Matthew chapter 13. And we'll pick it from around verse 9. And we'll read down till he get his point. He's going to drop a nugget on you. And he's going to ask you something, but we're going to leave it right there. He's going to ask you something, but we're going to leave it there. And we ain't going to touch on that no more. So now, the WCC, you see, you stepped up in something, and now you got the answer. So we already know clear. Everybody got a role to play. So do the people of the book called Children of Israel, the Israelites. We got a role to play to know exactly who we are. And the minute Yahweh see on the number that he got required, you knowing who you are, then the next move going to be made. Let's see what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. Let's read a little bit there. Young lion, come on.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, And we're picking up at verse number 9. Verse number 9 reads, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Verse 10. And the followers came and said unto him, why speak you unto them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they sin and seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand.
So you wonder why that all the big dignitaries, they hear us, but they don't understand. Because it's all about understanding. Everything we say is a parable to them. Because you can't come up the way you want to come up the way. You can't come up the way you want to come up. It ain't going to work. So we're going to leave that. Just we through with that. That's enough of that. They understand why they not going to understand. So they'll be surprised they don't understand that even from conception, you're supposed to be speaking to your offspring, which is your great grandmother or father that you put on the table. See, but they don't have a knowledge of it. But you have the knowledge of it, so now you know what to do now. So whenever you babysitting, whenever you around your nieces, your nephew, tell them who they are. Well, how that baby know something? That baby too little. We find out, no, they know from the womb. They get habits on the womb if you talk right. See, that's where it starts at. That's why you got to know who you are, people of the book. Now, let's go back to where we was at now. Come back, you unlined it. Let's come back to Exodus again. Now we go and get us up again, 13:18. Let's get 13:18 again. Exodus 13, verse 18, what it say?
Okay, we're going back over to the book of Exodus. Chapter 13, picking it back up at verse number 18. The book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse number 18 reads, but Yahweh led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt.
Now, what they mean by it, they went up harnessed. We already read that already. Thanks for reminding me that, young man. We read that already. Remember, they were together. They was on one mind, one accord. And when your mind like that, on one mind, one accord, see, right, that's it. And that's the fear today. Remember, when you come up on one mind and understand, and you understand what this Bible really saying, they already know. The handwriting is on the wall. You heard that over there in the book of Daniel. The handwriting is on the wall. Yeah. See, the handwriting is on the wall. Once you really know what this Bible saying, then they know one thing, the handwriting on the wall. Just like when that young basketball player, he put in the name of YHWH on his computer. That would activate them because they know. If you start peeping into YHWH, it's just like somebody trying to hold your head up on the water. That's how they got to fight. Because they know what's wrong with it. Once you start using that name and letting them babies know that you are the children of Israel and your mighty one is YHWH, they know. They've been see your walk and your talk. They know it's over with. And they're going to fight you tooth and nail. It's not because of that movie. It's because of that name he brought out. He said, I put in Y-H-W-H. I know he pronounced the word wrong. He pronounced it with vowels in it, Yahweh, because he didn't know. But one thing he did say, he put in Y-H-W-H. See, Y-H-W-H, without the vowels, is Yahweh. With the vowels, it's polluted for anything. Yahweh, Yah, and everything else. See? See, all that right there brings in, and they know one thing. They ain't worried about you. As long as you are in Yah, Yahweh, Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, they ain't worried about you. Mm-hmm. Because that ain't the name going to act this thing, the four letters, and you knowing what it says in Exodus 33, verse 14 to 17, young man. Now, once you know what they saying and be able to tell your offsprings about Exodus 33, 14 and 17, what it say, young man?
The book of Exodus, chapter 33. We want to read verse 14, and we want to read verse 17. The book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 14 reads, "And he said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Verse 17. "And the Yahweh said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name."
Mm-hmm. That's all you can give me in 14 and 17. I can't get no more out of that.
That's it.
Can I get anything else? Yeah, can I get anything else out of that? It's a little bit more. I need to get out of that 33rd verse there. So I'm running back to hear me a little something else. You in 33? You read verse 14, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Get down to verse 14. 16. Yeah, I need a little bit more. Thank you, Moses. Moses said, hey, Sears, a little bit more to that. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And that's 33. Pick that up at verse 14 down to verse number 16, 17. 14 down to verse 17. See, one thing about Mother Z, she says, look here, I might not can't get to it as quick as that, but I know one thing, it's more to it than that. Let's find out. Matter of fact, read verse 1 just to get warmed up. 33 of the book of Exodus, verse 1, 14 down to verse 17. Might as well get warmed up a little bit. Might as well get warmed up and put like a little slight meal to it. 33, verse 1, down to verse 17, come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 1, verse 14, down to verse 17. Verse 1 reads, "And the Yahweh said unto Moses, Depart and go up here, you and the people which you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Israel, saying, Unto your seed will I give it." Verse 14. "And he said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." 15. "And he said unto him, If your presence go not with me, carry us not up here. 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. 17. And Yahweh said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name."
Amen. You mean he didn't check Moses for what he said in verse 16? You mean he didn't check Moses? And all the leaders, the actors, the stars, the high platform peoples, they got the same statement that you mean Moses eyeball to eyeball till Yahuwah made a profound statement in 16, and he didn't check him with it? You mean Yahuwah did not check him in verse 16? What did he say in verse 16 that we have a problem of saying today? What did Moses say, the one that made us, in verse 16?
The book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 16 reads, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us, so shall we be separate, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?"
Now look what he says. Now, you mean Yahuwah did not check him and say, "Now you know that is wrong, Moses. This is about everybody, and everybody's equal upon the everybody's equal, and everybody's of one, and everybody's equal." You see that? Moses looked him directly and said something to him. "I and that and your people," you know we're talking about Israel, "are separated from all the nations of the world." Yahuwah did not even respond to him because that's the way it is. The reason why you're in trouble today, O children of Israel, because nobody will read your part in the book when you had the relationship with Yahuwah one-on-one. Moses asks about, "We have been separated from all the other nations of the world." Yahuwah didn't even respond to him because he knew he was on point. He went right into the next verse in 17. "See, Ray, why are you apologizing for what Yahuwah did?" See, you're going to remain like that until you understand. Sooner or later, you have to find the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. We read what Yahuwah is saying to Moses. And we also read what he also said something else. He says something else in here in verse number 19. See, listen. You know the reason why the seer has two handkerchiefs every time he always got to wipe his eyes when he see any of the members of the six anointed camps of voices of truth? I have to wipe my eyes. You know why? Let me show you why. Look what Yahuwah said in 19.
The book of Exodus, chapter 33.
Verse 19.
"And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Yahuwah before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy of whom I will show mercy."
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You see what the man's saying? He said, "It's my call. I'll be gracious on who I want to be gracious with, and I show mercy on who I want to show mercy to." You're supposed to be kicking with both heels together that Yahuwah showed mercy on you. He put this on you, and you apologizing for being what Yahuwah have said. You over here apologizing and running to everybody that looks like somebody else that have nothing to do with the YHWH man. You see why the seer got to cry every time he see you? He really be crying. He just needs to turn his back around and wipe his eyes and then continue talking with you. You see what the man saying? He showed mercy on a people called Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. He said, "I do what I want to do." He said, do you understand that? See? It is right there in verse 19. But now look at Big Dole in the Catholic Church, which is saying, well, he is no precept to that. What do you mean there ain't no precept to that? It's a precept to it. Let me take care of the Catholic Church right now, Brother Micaiah. Well, where will I go take care of the Catholic Church on that issue? Let's go to the 9th chapter of Romans. Let's see, can we take care of them and get back to what we own? See, you got to know how to go in the Bible and don't be bumming around and take care of what got to be taken care of and get right on back to what you own. Let's run to Romans chapter 9. Let's see if anything changed on the right-hand side of the book. Now, Paul was addressing, who was he addressing in 9 verse 4? Just get me warmed up. Paul was addressing a people. Matter of fact, let's read 9 verse 3 and see who Paul is getting ready to address about this information. 9 verse 3, and let's see what he called the peoples that he's getting ready to address that we can read. Let's look at Romans chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, what it say.
Book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 3 and verse number 4. Verse 3 reads, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Yahuwah the Son, for my brother, my kinsman, according to the flesh. Verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom...
Stop right there. Who is Paul's brothers and sisters? Who are they?
Israelites.
Thank you, that Mother Z. Thank you, Mother Z. See, Mother Z, sooner or later, you know, I don't know when you and the mother going to start bringing them straps because they're not speaking quick enough. And the only way you're going to get them to speak quick enough, maybe that good strap got to come out every now and then. You know, every now and then. See, Paul is addressing his bloodline people. He's telling the ones that are scattered your position, like we're telling you now. Your offspring is not black Hebrew Israelites, the Jewish. No. What did Paul say that his kinfolks is? Paul say his bloodline is Israelites. Why can't we talk this? Why can't we talk Bible? The minute we start talking Bible, then when you hear, well, give me a precept, no problem. Just stop what you're doing and go to the 11th chapter of Mother E and give them a precept and we come there back. That's all you do is go and give them what they want and come back where we own. Hey, Mother, what it says over there in 11th chapter, verse 1 of Romans. Let's find out, can we hear about who Paul says his kinfolks are Israelites. That's what he used, Israelites, talking about the peoples. Now, we're going to get a precept on it, Mother, in the 11th chapter, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to go back to what we own. Hey, Mother E., what does it say in the 11th chapter, verse 1 and 2?
Romans chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1, I said then, has Yahweh cast away his people? Yahweh forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2, Yahweh had not cast away his people, which he foreknew.
Good. Right there. Right there, Mother. Good. Right there. Now, you see how bold Mother read that? Because it's enough to read boldly like that. But Paul had no problem telling the people that were scattered who he are. He introduced himself. He didn't call himself no Hebrew, no black Hebrew Israelite. He didn't call himself no Jew or Jewish. He had no problem to let them know that he is a Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. Do you know who Benjamin is today? I'm the one you call Jamaicans. And you got another group over there in the land of Ham they call Africa. They call themselves exactly who they are. But all of them need a little tweaking to get it all tightened up, you know, a little bit. Put it over there and Benji over there, Benny over there, Benji over there, Benitez and all that stuff. All they need is a little tweaking, and that's where we got to come in at and put our message in the wind for them to understand who you really are according to the Bible. All that puffed up spirit about you some Nigerian and you some Nebo and you all that, no, don't none of that work. You ain't no Nebos and tracing back, because you got to have a history of where these words come from. The children of Israel have no affiliation with the word called Hebrew, because you got to know the origin of the word. What you mean what I mean by that? You got to have, you know, the origin of the word. We can get it from the Bible, and we also can get it from certain books. Matter of fact, let me see what book I want to pull this out. Now, they got a book called, it was written in 1970. It's called A Picture History of Jewish Civilization by, I don't want to butcher up the name, so I just spell it out. The name is by BEZALELNARKISS. He talks a lot of things in there, but I'm going to give one point that he brought out, that out of his historical documents that he came, and the book is called A Picture History of a Jewish by whatever that name, and this book was written about 1970. But I want to go and get something that's in this book that it might be on different pages than what I got mine on. This book was written about 1970. Now, in this book, he's going to tell you something. Let's see what I want. In this book, this book right here is talking about the Idumeans, what happened in verse 63 B.C. Now, I'm going to hold that up for a minute. So that's talking about something else. But I do talk about something that I can bring it in, but I'm not. I'm going to go to another book. And now the book that I want to go to, this book is written in 1850. It's called Physical Geography, PHYSICALGEOGAPHY, and it's by his name is start with A, last name is BARRINGTON. That's his name. Now, in his book on page, it was written in Boston in around about 1850. On page 249, listen to this right here. See, we got all the rich in the information of Thus Says Yahweh. So don't be no accident when they make statements, but we letting you know, when you hear those that holler this Hebrew Israelite, black Hebrew Israelite, we know they really is misinformed. And it's nothing to do with what, we're not affiliated with any camp. We got a lead camp called Voices of the True Israelite. We are a lead camp. Let me show you why we're a lead camp. Now on page 249, this is what it says. Now listen to this. The Hebrew are called the name by Eber. Their grandfather, whom all the Hebrews descended. Okay? The word Hebrew is coming from Eber. At the time of Eber was born, we use that word hypothetical Hebrew. It's talking about Hebrew. At the time this word was talked about Hebrew, it was no such thing as the children of Israel. Children of Israel didn't even exist when this word was using by just using what he got on page 249. Then we go to Genesis, what we want, 14:13, young line, and we find out this word Hebrew is way back here in 14:13, or is it 13:14? Which one is this in Genesis is the word Hebrew in? Let's see what it says in the book of Genesis, 13:14 or 14:13. Which one it is, y'all fine? Come on.
Book of Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. 13 reads, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew."
You see, Abram the Hebrew. At the time of Abram the Hebrew, it was no such thing as an Israelite or even, maybe not even Isaac, because they were still in the loins of this man. He was still in the loins of this man. Although they was here, but they was in the loins of this man. You know, we read that in other lessons. So when you affiliate this word Hebrew, run it up to Hebrew. Run it up to Abraham if you want to play around with it. But it has nothing to do with you interchanging with the Israelites. The Israelites is not no Hebrews. That is a made-up word because all bodies of peoples is recognized Mother E, according to Job 8, verse 8. Everybody is reckoned, according to the Bible, is Job Issachar's boy, 8, verse 8. Backed up with Brother Micaiah in Numbers chapter 1, 16 through 18. Come on, back to back, come on.
Book of Job, chapter 8, verse 8. The Book of Job, chapter 8, verse 8. "For inquire, pray thee, of the former age, and prepare yourself to the search of your father."
So when you search back, mother, hey, mother, when you're trying to require in time, once upon a time ago, where do you start your search at according to 8 verse 8 of Job, mother? According to 8 verse 8. Go ahead.
The search of your father. You start by searching of your father.
Excellent. Your father's, you search through your father's name. That's how you search for whatever you want to know through the father. There's no father name Hebrew. The word is taken from Hebrew. That was the word they mustered this word up from Hebrew, which is the father. And you can go on and get it back up to Shem. So when you use the word, we know you're not learned from the voices of the true Israelite, because the word Hebrew have no affiliation with the children of Israel, the Israelites. It is a watered-down myth word for Hebrew, the father of the Hebrews. See, that's the biggest lie ever told, but go with that other than going with just calling yourself a Hebrew Israelite. Shoot. See, we know you're missing born, and you got to correct that because you're holding your blessing back by identifying yourself with something that you had to go of the imagination of men's mind. Now, I'll come back to verse on page 249. I forgot about you, young line. I want to read a little bit more on page 249. The Hebrew are called by Hebrew their grandfather. Their grandfather, that's who named Hebrew. I mean, and whom the Hebrews descend. The Hebrews are sent from Hebrew. Okay. What do you say here? Saint, I'm tape 249. The Israelites are called after their grandfather, Israel. Ain't that something? You see, they got it. Now, why, you know, why ain't nobody got this information? Look what he say. The Israelites, on page 249, the Israelites are called after their grandfather. What? Israel. That's right. You see that? So when you talk about the Israelites, you got to talk about Israel. Not no other, no Jew, no Jewish, no Hebrew. On page 249, the Israelites are called after their great father, Israel. Yeah. Then, in that same book on page 249, in that same book, it tells you this, in the same page from 249. What's that, WCC? Yes, we're looking at it, too. Okay, I know you got your computer where you pull up, but look at this. The Jews, and Jewish is corrupted for Judah. You see that? You see in that, WCC? On page 249, the Jews and Jewish is corrupted for Judah, Israel for some, and are called after Africa and Asia. So what he's saying, Judah is called Africa, Asia, Jewish, and all these is corrupt names for Judah, the fourth son of Israel. On page 249. Here, keep it up, we'll cut you off. I'm not worried about you cutting me off. The young lion can take it over, but that, you see, you open the door. And so that's where it is. So you see, you hear him hollering about we true Jews and they are phony Jews and all that. No, I don't worry about none of that. All that's misteaching, bad teaching again. Now, so now, see how we open the door and pull it out. And then also, in the same book, I got to pull this out. Now, I got to pull this out on the same book. On this book of 1850. On page 13. Now look at this one on page 13. Now, this separated race, all descended from brown ancestors, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, darker than of the blacks of Meribah, M-A-L-A. B-A-R. He said, all these descendants that you call, that is called Israelites, which is a separate race, they all descended from a dark ancestors. From Abraham, he called Abraham dark. He called Isaac dark and Jacob dark. All these came, and they darker than the Meribah. Now you go in and find out these people here are so dark. He said, the children of Israel are more darker than them. They are separate race. And that same thing Moses. See, they knew then they were separate race. And we read that. We read about Moses says, read it one more time. Come back. Young man. No, give me that 1:16 through 18. Then I'll meet you over here in Exodus 33. Give me that 1:16 through 18, the book of Numbers. What did it say?
The book of Numbers. Chapter 1, verse 16 down to 18. 16 reads, these were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. 17. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their name. Verse 18. And they assembled all the congregations together on the first day of the second month. And they declared their pedigree after their family by the house of their father, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their poll.
So you're supposed to always, when you gather together, you declare your pedigree, your bloodline. So it's nothing wrong. It's all right. When you come together, you will introduce yourself from what tribe you in and your bloodline. That's how you're supposed to talk. That's what Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. We're not going to read. He says, I ought to talk about my bloodline. Because we got the mercy of Yahweh on us. And don't you know you need to talk about that to your offspring? Maybe they'll stop kicking each other in the rim every now and then. You know? Hey, brother, he stepped on your shoe. You ought to go and pull that bag out on him. See that? That's the low self-esteem respect we have for our own brothers. See? We got down because we let other people direct us from who we really are. In this book, Israel, the Israelite, we got no affiliation with these watered-down words called Jew, Jewish, Israelis, or Hebrews. All these is watered-down words that will hold us back from our blessing. Once we recognize that we are, our grandfather is Israel, and we the Israelites, we children of Israel, the Israelites. Once we understand that, we in good. Now, I want to come back to third chapter, and now I want to look at something that was said, because this right here was picked up out of this physical this book that we read, PHYSICALGEOGRAPHY by A, B, first name is A, period, then B-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. We can't pronounce the name, but we'll get more calls. They say, you butchered up his name. So what? Then you pronounce it, but you take this information with you. Now what we got? So now, on page 13, it talks about that this was a separate race. Then we go right back into the Bible and see what it's saying. 33, verse number 16, Brother Micaiah. And Mother E, meet me over in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53 for the precept. 1 Kings 8, 53 for the precept. So you see, you're going to be able to do these things. And when you do it, it's over with. Then they might as well just go and stick their head in the water and let me drop a millstone on top of your head and step in that water. That's it. Once you come to the knowledge of yourself, then they're going to immediately go take their head and put it up under water. And then you will just take it and put a big brick on top of their head and keep it up under the water. But that's it. It's always just like that. Once you recognize who you are and your responsibility is Bible, and how you supposed to teach your loved ones, which is your great-great-great-great-great grandparents in the womb. That's who you're talking to. You think you got a brand-new baby, huh? Look at my brand-new nephew. Man, that nephew is from the days of old. See? But you got to start putting some good stuff in them, because they's a comeback in these days. What you mean, Latter-day Saints? What you mean by that? They're supposed to come back. They're supposed to come back. How we know that? Give me a hold that point. Young Lion, give me what you got. Just put a marker there for me to come back there. Let me make sure that's right. Give me a second there's a 239. Let me show you. Make it 38. Make it sound good. Let me show you. No, 138 and take it down in. Let me show you that everybody that once have been here is back now, but you're not going to recognize them until you understand this information. They wandering around right now in your womb,
need to be activated. You'll see signs of them once you understand what is written. In 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 38, let's read a little bit. Brother Mikhail, let's read a little bit. What does it say?
Book of 2 Ezra chapter 1, picking up at verse 38. Book of 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 38 reads, "And now, brother, behold, what honor and see the people that cometh from the east." Verse 39. "To whom I will give for leave, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Hoshea, Amos, and Micaiah, Joel, Obadiah, and Jonah, 40, Nahum, and Habakkuk, Sophonius, Agaiah, Zechariah, Malachi, which is called also in the ministering spirit of Yahuwah."
What word they got there? What word they got there for education-wise? They call what?
Which is called also an angel of Yahuwah.
Now, who is just called an angel of Yahuwah in verse 39? Who is just called angel of Yahuwah? Who is this?
Okay, the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 1, verse 39 reads, "To whom I will give for leaders."
Leaders.
Abraham.
The leader. That's another name for them, leaders. They leaders. The angel is interchangeable with leaders. Leaders. Let's go to Malachi. Another name they call. The angel, leaders, Malachi, 1:1. What it say? What's another name? When you see these names, you got to know how to place these names. Leaders. Leaders. Angels. What they call them? Give me another name.
Going over to the, you say Malachi 1:1?
Well, I don't know that I want 1:1. I don't know that I want 1:1. How about me getting 3:1? How about 3:1? Thank you, that young man. How about getting me 3:1? What's another name for the angel, the leader? 3:1.
In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Yahuwah whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come," said Yahuwah of hosts.
You see that? You see that? The messenger, the leader, the angel, interchangeable. The angel he's talking about right here is the messenger, the leader. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. They got even another name on them, 2, verse 10. So all these names is on the ones that is to come back again. They'll be leaders, or they be messengers, or they can be called angels. You remember when you read the book of Revelation to the seven angels that's at the congregation of Israel, he's talking to the leaders. He ain't talking about no. Listen, ain't no great big old mental spirit of Yahuwah is down thumbing around with you. He got the one that's already is here that you're talking to him now. The six anointed counts is leaders, messengers, angels. That's what he's talking about. You see the word angels, don't look for somebody with some wings up there, up and away. He's talking about, we go and read Revelation chapter 1 unto the seven congregation of children of Israel, the Israelites, to the angels there, talking about the messengers, the leaders, the angels. All that's interchangeable. And another word they got on them, but you got to know all these words. You got to know how to place them. But like Mother Z said, with the sewing machine effect, you can't be fumbling all around with this thing. You got to do it thoroughly like you sewing a garment or something. 2:10, what it say?
The book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10 reads, "But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, leadership, for something
you see that?
They
with." Wait a minute. They, hold on. They despise what again? What, take your time. They despise what?
Government, leadership.
Leadership. What kind of leadership? First Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 and 6. What kind of leadership? What kind of leadership do they despise? I mean, they grabbing despise leadership, but they grabbing the wrong people for leadership. Athletes, baseball players, they don't sign a contract. It ain't no leader to you don't sign no contract, because in the bottom line is they can't step past like the brother Ye say. You can take everything I got from me. I'm still gonna talk, but you still. And they're going to take everything you got. But what they can never take from you is what we're giving you now. What we're giving you now, can't nobody take it from you. It's up to you to lose it on your own by being disobedient to the rules and regulations of the says Yahweh. To Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelite, you can use it. If you don't sit there and teach your offspring, even in the womb, who they are. Shame on you. But you know, but mother, hey, Mother E, he made a profound statement even about that. In St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. Hey, Mother E, what did he say pertains to even that? He got something on that. In St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. What he got, Mother, that we can read?
St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
St. John chapter 9,
got
verse 40 and verse 41. "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also?" Verse 41. "Yahweh the Son said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sins remain."
Yeah. Once you know what we try to tell you, you hear it, and you reject it, guess what? The clock will start ticking on you. Once you know what this man is trying to tell you, Israel, the Israelite, I know that. It's okay. Your sins just start kicking even higher than you ever thought before. Because you know, you just ain't going to do right. See, you ain't going to do right. You ain't going to look at this Bible and make a Bible decision. You're going to make a fleshly decision, which is contrary to the Bible. Because when you are anointed in leadership, I mean, I didn't say nothing about no anointed yet. I know I didn't. Come back to 10:1. Thank you, WCC. Let's find what he's talking about in 10:1. 10:1 of 1 Samuel and verse 6.
Okay, we're going back over to the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 10, we want verse number 1 and verse 6. Verse 1 reads, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil, and poured it upon his head, and kissed him, and said, It is not because the Yahweh have anointed you to be captain over his inheritance. Verse 6, and the spirit of Yahweh will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with him, and shall be turned into another man."
What turns you into another man and another woman according to verse 1? What turns you into that according to verse 1 there, young man?
He said he had put the oil.
Thank you, Mother V. Thank you. the anointing oil on that thick head. Thank you, Mother Z. That anointed oil on your head. And when you know one to have that anointed oil on the head, you have to treat them totally different than those of the world, because you lose. Back up to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. You come out of your feelings. Come on. 2 Kings 9, 1.
All right, we're going to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1 reads, "And Elisha, the seer, called one of the children of the elders, and said unto him, Gird up your loins, and take this box of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead."
And do what with it, verse 2?
Verse 2, "And when you come there, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber."
And do what with him in verse 3?
Verse 3 reads, "Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, Thus says Yahweh, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not."
And go on about your business. You see it? And once you anoint him, go on about your business. It ain't no cat talking time. You got more business to take care of. But we'll know when they're ready. Because six anointed camps is not anointing anybody unless you line up with the Torah instructions. That's why you 12 in every camp got to understand something. Can't nobody teach the way we teach. So first of all, they got to be anointed by us first. If we ain't anointed, you cannot keep up in this magnitude of what we teach on. You're not going to be able to go the way we go. Because first of all, you got to be proven by the six anointed camps. And you must be anointed to do this right here. And Yahweh will intervene. So we know we can watch the best of them. I don't care how big your organization is. We know when you're anointed, you're going to be using the four letters, YHWH. And you're going to be in order according to Thus Says Yahweh. And you're going to know what Mother getting ready to read when it talks about this people in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53. You're going to know this already. You're going to know this. What can we read, Mother? Hey, Mother E, what can we read over there in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53? What can we read? Come on.
Okay. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53. 1 Kings chapter 8. "But thus did separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses, your servant, when thou brought our father out of Egypt, O Yahweh."
Mm-hmm. Mother, in verse 30, who's he talking about for this national audience? Who is this separate people in 1 Kings? How about helping those see out in 1 Kings chapter verse 30? So who's he talking about? I mean, just for the record, for this national audience to know who is a separate people from all the peoples of the earth by not taking nothing for granted. We're just going to read verse 30 and see exactly who is he talking about that we all can read together. And we can't bag away. Why? But we get ready to read it. Verse 30, what does it say?
2 Kings chapter 7, verse 30 reads. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 30. "And hearken thou to this, supplication of thy servants and of thy people Israel. When they shall
Stop right there. All I want is a name. Thy people is who?
Israel. The Israelites.
Verse 33.
When your people, Israel, the Israelites, made it.
What their name? What their name?
When your people, Israel, the Israelites.
Oh, so Yahweh's people is, now look at WCC. It don't say nothing about no Israelite there. Well, I know it don't, but mother knows that she already got the hammer down in 2 Kings 3. Let's go to 2 Kings 3 there, Brother Micaiah. Mother, you still with yet? No, mother, she knew what she was saying. She called them the Israelites because she know we can go to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 24. She already had the big stick waiting on them. Bring it out, Brother Micaiah. 2 Kings 3, 24.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse number 24 reads, and when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites.
They came to the camp of Israel, the who?
The Israelites.
See that? So, understand something. We see, in 3 verse 11, Brother Micaiah, St. John, what do it say is to this national audience according to 3 verse 11 of the book of St. John? What do it say that we can read?
Okay, we're going over to the book of St. John, chapter 3, verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our wishes.
What do we speak? What do the six and nine accounts speak?
What we do know.
That's it. See, we speak what we know. See, we speak what we know. Give me Micah 3, verse 1. Why? Why so? 3 verse 1. Come on, Brother Micaiah.
Okay, going over to Micah. Chapter 3. We want verse number 1. Going to Micah. Chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1. Micah chapter 3, verse number 1 reads, and I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Israel, and you princes of the family of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment?
You see that? It is our job, especially the heads of Israel, the 12 with the black books and all the camps, is for you to know judgment. We supposed to know. We ain't guessing at this at all. We know how to get these people back on the right track. We can read the Bible. Let's go back to that Romans chapter 9 again. Going back to 9. We did all that to get back to 9. So we find out the peoples is he talking to is 9 verse 4. Let's see what position he put them in 9 verse 4. These peoples called Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. What position, what did he tell them that we won't know one thing? You got the grandbaby over? You got the child over? Do you tell them exactly what the Almighty have extolled on them, even in the womb? Do you tell them what is written in 9 verse 4? What is that? What is that 9 verse 4?
Okay. Going over to Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption and the honor and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of Yahweh and the promise.
And what's left? It ain't nothing left. You got everything. You see what the man is saying? The man said, you got everything. I mean, if you got all this in 9 verse 4, what else do you want behind all this? He don't give you everything. And you over there making politicizing statements about what you can. Listen, Paul was reminding the children of Israel, his kinfolks, that you got everything pertaining to Yahweh. You got all of it. Not another nation get this, another nation got, no, according to Paul, in 9 verse 4, everything pertaining to Yahweh, even a promise, and that means eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
You got all this, and you ain't going to say nothing? You talk about who the true Jews, who the Hebrews is, and what they part is. What do you care about they part? This is your part here. Oh, he was still talking to them. What does he say to them in verse 15? Now, he reminded them something, 15 down to verse 16. Look what he say. Look what Paul says, full of the Spirit of the Almighty, in the 9th chapter, verse 15 and 16. Let's see what Paul's conversation was to the Israelites that were scattered. What did he say?
Okay, we're going back over to the book of Romans, chapter 9. We're going to pick it up at verse 15, and we're going to verse number 16. The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 15 reads, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of Yahweh that showeth mercy.
Hate that. He man keep quoting way back on the left side of the book of Exodus 33:16-17. He told Moses, I have mercy on who I want. I picked the children of Israel at the end of it. They're going to do my business, the Israelites. I'm going to whoop them till they get right. And he had every generation. I show mercy on who I want to show mercy on. He said, I ain't got to answer to nobody. My father gave me all his rules and regulations, so I ain't got to answer to nobody. I looked down and I picked the people. I came down to the tribe of Judah. Huh? The one just black to the ground, 14 verse 2. That's what I chose to do and I did it. If you're going to learn anything about the Bible, you got to learn from Judah. You talk to Judah now. Y'all done. You ain't got nothing coming. And that's the man saying, I told the people, this is their duties, I'm going to until they do it. Eh? You want one, you always get jacked up because you won't do no more. Let me get a couple more in. We'll bring our elder back in and then mother in. Let me get a couple more in. Let's come back to Numbers chapter 2 there, Brother Micaiah. We're on to Numbers chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 1, 10, 24, and 25. And Mother E, tell me Deuteronomy 17, verse 14 and 15, and we'll bring our elder back in and Mother E to address this national audience. Let's see if we get Numbers chapter 2, verse 1, 10, 24, and 25. What did it say there? Brother Micaiah, what did it say we can read?
You say Numbers chapter 2, verse 1, 10, 24, down to 25. The book of Numbers chapter 2, verse 1 read. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 10, all that were numbered in the camp of Yahdah Judah were 100,000. Okay, that's verse 9. The book of Numbers, chapter 2, verse number 10. Number 10 reads, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their arms. And the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Elazar, the son of Shedor. Verse number 24.
All I want to get there is one thing. their armies. See, Yahweh called you an army. He let you know all 12 tribes was the army in themselves, but they all was Israelites, the army of Israel. So when you hear your Christians all about in the army of the Lord, I'm going to sing my song. Hey, listen, Mr. Sing the song. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. The army of the Lord is Yahweh's army, the children of Israel. The one you call all these wicked names today, that gathers up on this cursed name. So y'all don't even do wrong right. Then when you're talking about an army of the Bible, the only army in the Bible is the children of Israel. The Israelites. See, we got to correct these things. This is the only army. And that's why you hear the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine, they're getting it from you, the children of Israel, the Israelites. Skip down to verse 24 and 25.
The book of Numbers, chapter 2, verse 24 and verse 25. 24 reads, "And all that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 100,000 and 8,000 and 100 throughout their army. And they shall go forward in the third rank." 25. "The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side of by their army."
See, all of the tribes was called an army. See, you the army of Yahweh and you don't even know it. They done stole every word that belongs to you. Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites. You know, you the army of the Bible. Even there, you the army of the Bible. So when you hear them getting that door playing them tambourines and the drum door beating, the children of Israel didn't beat no drum. They had what's called the shofar. Now that drum stuff come from Ham. They picked up on everybody's stuff, but Yahweh gave you shofar. Blow that. You ain't sending no signals through no drums. That's what they done. See, you're doing everything everybody else did. No, you send your signal through your shofar. They call a horn today. They show you how you blow it this way. This is what that means. You blow it that way. This is what it means. Now that beating the drum and all that stuff right there, that was given by another people that look like you. But we have picked up on that habit too. Now we come to... Who are them guys, them great drum players today? What they call? Give me a name. Snake, why y'all give me a name? Give me a name. Never on them old drum players. What's their name? Give me a name on one of those great drum players.
I don't know.
A good drum player. Well, that's how we get it tomorrow. The drum player. No, the children of Israel, you can't be like them. They got to be like you. Yahweh gave you a shofar. Blow that horn. Like Louis Armstrong do. You think he don't know he's blowing that trumpet. You give him one of them shofars, he blow that thing too. See? They call it Marcellus, the horn player. They don't even know they recycled back from the children of Israel of days of old. See, we just don't know the power we have if we return back to Yahweh's covenant and understand who we are and stop all these politics. Forbid who you are and stop putting everybody on the plane is equal with you. Yahweh didn't say everybody was equal with you. So why are you saying it? He told you exactly what he had to do for you. Give me real quick there, young lion. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 10. Why is you making these statements? And you keep in fear, always crying with two handkerchiefs now. Now look, it reads right in 7 verse 6 down to verse 10. Listen to what he got written that we all can read together. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 down to verse 10. What did it say?
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're going verse 6 down to verse 10. Verse 6 reads, "For you are an righteous people unto Yahweh, your Yahweh. The Yahweh, your Yahweh, hath chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Verse 7. "The Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Verse 8. But because Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, hath the Yahweh bought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Yahweh, your Yahweh, he is Yahweh, the fruitful Yahweh, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his laws to a thousand generations. 10. And repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hate him. He will repay him to his face.
Mm-hmm. He said, the one that hate him, they want to go contrary to him. He said, the one that hate him. That means when you precept that to 1927, Brother Micaiah, or the book of Luke, he said, how do I know when you hate Yahweh? You ain't calling by his name. You ain't wearing fringes. You ain't keep them feast days, Sabbath days. You ain't getting anywhere you fit in. That means you hate him. But it's going to come a time he's going to tell you something in 1927. Oh, Luke, this is what he's going to tell you. Listen, he's going to tell you.
The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 27 reads, but those my enemies, which were not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
You see the man saying? So if you don't want to do what the man saying, it's going to come a day, he's going to say, all the ones that hate my law, hate that I gave you a dress code, you want to ignore everything I got on the table, you're not going to keep my Sabbath day, you want cameo do it when you get ready. One of these days, I'm going to say, bring that individual before me and slay them before me. Because when you're not doing Yahweh's business, you hate him. When you're not calling by his name, you hate him. He said, there's going to come a time that I'm going to tell him, wake him back up and bring them before me, according to 1927, and slay them before my face. It is right there. And another thing, Mother, let's get this out the way if we can bring the elder in and Mother Z. In Deuteronomy 17, and another thing he's telling you things that would avoid punishment on you. See, I already know about the 13, 14, 15 amendments that's in the Constitution. But they tried to correct the wrong with 13, 14, 15, I believe the cat the bag or down to verse number 10. But they will go read 0 through 10, but no, they correct it. But they didn't have to correct anything if you know exactly where you stand anyway. And matter of fact, before we get out of here, give me, we've done 4, 5 yesterday, give me verse 6 and 7 for the nice tape number 16. See, listen, all these things have come up on you because you won't do right. This is something you won't do right. Right here, although the 13th, 14th, and 15th Commandment, they said, now you can go and vote now, you African-American, Negro, and Black. But they have the stipulation with you. But if you knew what Mother get ready to read in Deuteronomy 17, 14, 15, listen what Mother getting ready to read out of the book. Yahweh talking to Moses. Moses talking to the children of Israel, the Israelites. Let's see what he says here in 17 chapter, verse 14 and 15. Come on, Mother E. Come on.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verse 14 and verse 15. Verse 14 reads, and thou art come unto the land which Yahweh, your Yahweh, give thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Verse 15. Thus shall in any wise set a king over thee, whom the Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall choose. One from among your brethren shall thus set king over thee. Thus mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not your brother.
Ain't that something? You just made this say it. This man said you don't for put no king or governor or mayor or nobody over you unless he's your brother. That means bloodline, see, right? So you gonna bring me a ballot? Well, let me see. If this is an Israelite for him, what is it? This is an Israelite? Do we know he a covenant Israelite? Well, I'm vote for a covenant Israelite. A covenant Israelite know the Israel, the Israelite. He said, if you don't do it, you're out of order. So I don't show you. So what you so happy about going to the ballot voting somebody look like somebody else? They don't have the bloodline of you in. You see that? He told you not to do it. You do it anyway. You got this to happen when they gave you the 13, 14, and 15 commandments. You ought to read that. And they said, nah, old African-American Negro, you can go vote for us now. And you knew the Bible. Wait a minute. Nah, I'm getting on the ballot to vote for somebody look like me. Huh? Nah, I'm not voting for nobody. You ain't on my bloodline. I'm voting for somebody. We got to put somebody in there look like me. That talking to company like me. See, that's what we got to talk about. Oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to vote. But is he an Israelite, a conscious Israelite? You know, they know he's from the tribe of Judah. Is he able to vote for him? And is he doing the right stuff? See that? They ain't going to put no microphone nowhere near you behind that kind of talk. You see what the man just said? 3 verse 15, one more time, Moses. See, this is what Yahweh is telling Moses. He's giving him rules and regulations. What did he say in 17:15?
Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 15 reads, thus shall in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall choose. One from among your brethren shall thus set king over thee. Thus mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother.
So you might have a person over you say, well, I'm your brother, but is you talking to Yahweh? Oh, no, I'm talking to Lord God and Jesus. Man, get on with me then. Get on with me. He said, who Yahweh going to choose? See, Yahweh, what you mean, Latter-day Saints? You want a precept on that? Okay, hold on. Let me get this precept, young lion. Let me go to 1 Samuel and get a precept. Now, they want a precept on that. You know, sooner or later, you know, a whole lot of them, the 500 million members, they're gonna break loose. They got to come see bosses. You know, that's why they jammed the station on them. Let me show you that Yahweh got to make the move, and then we got to respond from Yahweh making the move. Let's see if we can read that, and we'll get the mother and get the ill and the mother in. We might as well read that to make sure that we read Bible. We're going to the 7th chapter there, young lion. And let's see if it's so what I just got through saying. We're going to the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, and we'll pick it up at verse number 6. And we'll read 6 and 7.
Okay, First Samuel chapter 8, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 reads, but the thing displeased Samuel the seer, when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel the seer prayed unto Yahweh.
Verse 7. And Yahweh said unto Samuel the seer, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, and I said, not reign over them.
Now go to the ninth chapter. Now go to the ninth chapter, verse 14, down to verse 16, and that's it. Now go to the ninth chapter, pick up verse 14 and 15. We'll bypass. Yeah, okay, I need to read 16. We can deal with it. 14, 15, then pause, and let me talk a little bit, then we'll read verse 16.
All right, we got the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 14 down to 16. Verse 15. 14,
read 15. Let me get in there and say something there, young man.
Okay. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 14, read. And they went up into the city. And when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel, the seer, came out against them for to go up to the high place. Verse 15. Now Yahweh had told Samuel the seer in his ear a day before Saul came, saying.
You see that? And Yahweh told Samuel in his ear, Samuel the seer. And Yahweh told Samuel the seer in his ear. What did he tell Samuel in his ear a day ahead of time? What did he say?
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 17 reads. And when Samuel the seer saw Saul, Yahweh said unto him, behold.
Wait a minute, young man. Come on, young man. Give me 16.
Oh, okay. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 16 reads. 16. Tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me.
Hate that. You see how this thing go? So if anybody is in any leadership position, if they don't come through the sixth anointing and cast the voice of to Israel, we know that he's not up under Yahweh, because we got to anoint you. And we ain't going to anoint you unless you understand the rules and regulations, thus says Yahweh. He said, I'm going to choose who's going to be what. So he ain't told us about nobody choosing nobody. The world we're going on right now, that's a crapshoot out there. See, that's about we knowing what we know. Okay, that's good enough. See, it's Bible. That's the greatest piece of literature there is Bible. See, we'll vote. After Yahweh gives the nose to the seer and say, yeah, that guy over there, y'all go in and vote for him. And he got, but he's a conscious Israelite that know what he's supposed to be doing. And Yahweh ain't trying to care to the world. He's about Yahweh's business. All right, then that's what we waiting to hear. We ain't heard none of that yet. Then we got the anointed one that's going to, come on, he's going to be a leader. You're going to be a leader and you don't know. You can't even find Genesis in your Bible. You ain't got no Bible, no way. Now, it don't work like that. See, we got to know this six anointed camps. We got the 12 books. We got to know what this Bible's saying. What the world's saying. What is Yahweh saying? Hey, Elder Phil, you might as well give your closing statement. I don't got happy, so you on the clock. Come on.
On tonight, see ya.
Clear about something in Isaiah 52 verse 3. What is that, Mother?
what we got to know in Isaiah 52 verse 3? What we got to know?
Isaiah 52 verse 3?
Yeah. What do we need to know, Mother?
Okay.
That we can read.
Isaiah chapter 52.
Yeah. What do we got to that we can read?
The book of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 3. For thus says the Yahweh, you have sold yourself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money.
Wait a minute, Mother. He said the problem with you Israel, Israelite, we don't done what? What have we did, Mother?
Sold yourself for naught.
You sold yourself for nothing. Either you don't sold yourself for nothing. He said, look here. Sold yourself for nothing. And what did he call these people that sold themselves for nothing, Mother? In Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10. He said, you know what your problem is, Israel, the Israelites? You don't sold yourself for nothing. You don't want to wear no fringes. You want to keep no Sabbath day, no feast days. You really don't sold yourself for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I told you to do, I recognize you because you ain't doing it. Now, look what he called these people that sold themselves for nothing in Jeremiah 13, 8, 9, and 10. What do you say, Mother?
Look at Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 8, 9, and 10. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 8. Then the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, thus said the Yahweh, after this man will I mire the pride of Yahweh Judah, and the great pride of Yahweh Judah. Verse 10, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their mind, and walk after other Yahwehs to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girl, which is good for nothing.
Hey, Mo, you said there was conviction. You mean the one that he gave and stole all this information, they what, Mother? What are they?
Good for nothing.
Good for nothing. Ain't that something? Now, listen, he said, I'll show mercy who I want to show mercy. Mm-hmm. And the ones he showed mercy on, and he's sitting up in heaven with his father saying, the one I showed mercy on, how good they are, Mother?
Good for nothing.
They good for nothing. They good for nothing. Matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 14 now, Mother. Hey, Mother. In Isaiah chapter 14, I need a little bit more. He said, the one that he undone all this and stole all this good stuff on him, I want to go to the 14th chapter of Isaiah, Mother.
Okay.
In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, he said, it's evil people, they ain't no good for nothing. So, I'm struggling right now, Mother. I'm struggling right now. But he said these people is good for nothing. But right now I'm struggling. I mean Ezekiel 14. That's thank you.
Ezekiel 14.
Yeah, make it Ezekiel 14. So Moses said, she said, well, I don't feel like giving a commentary tonight, but I'll tell you one thing, sir. You got to come out there and get in that Ezekiel 14. Let's see what he says in 14 verse 5.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 5, read, that I may take the family of Israel in their own mind, because they are all estranged from me through their idols.
Yeah, six.
Verse 6. Yahweh say unto the family of Israel, thus said the Yahweh, repent and turn yourself from your idols, and turn away your face from all your abominations.
Read verse 7 in a closing statement. Give me verse 7 there and give me a closing statement. Well, not really giving a closing statement because they don't put on the young line. We're going to mute the young line too. So mother, you got to take it on in, mother. They got the young line muted out of the broadcast too. So you got to take it all the way in, mother. That's how they playing. They playing Russia. They mute the elder. And maybe Mother Z kind of figured out that they had some up on their sleeve. She just ran back on them. But they'll mute the young lion, too. Young lion got a M-U-T-E on him. So, read verse.
Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 7. For everyone of the family of Israel are of a stranger that sojourned in Israel, which separated himself from me and set up his idols in his mind and put it the stumbling block of his sin before his face and commit to a fear to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Yahweh, will answer him by myself.
You see that? He said, if you want to do wicked and you want to bring it back to anointed leadership, he said, no, I ain't let the anointed leadership say nothing. I'm going to answer you. See, if you don't want to do Bible of Israel, you know, listen, we keep telling you, you're on the way back. It's not what they doing, because he didn't give the other peoples what he gave you. In Amos 3, 1 and 2, do you understand he spoke through the seers? The seers is the one passed the information to the children of Israel. So the seer has to remind you on what he's saying in Amos 3, 1 and 2. It's the seer's responsibility to get it to the elders. You'll be reminded what he said, and stop all this apologizing for what Yahweh did for you. Amos 3, 1 and 2 says what?
Look at Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and verse 2. Verse 1. Hear this word that the Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins.
You see that? You only have I known out of all the families of the earth. Don't you know you're supposed to be teaching your loved ones that Yahweh made a special, he picked a people out of the 18 nations. He said, I show mercy on who I want to show mercy on.
Mm-hmm.
If I show mercy on you, I don't have to show no mercy on you. You should be jumping for joy to walk around with your fringes on, keeping the Sabbath day, first one in, the last one to leave. You're supposed to be happy to keep these feast days. You're supposed to be happy to say, what can I get in where I fit in at? This supposed to come to your mind. This man made a choice. He blessed you with everything he got to offer to man, and look how you're doing this man with all this power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people remind you about the Sabbath day, remind you put on fringes. This man said, I show mercy on who I want to show mercy. I show mercy on a people called Jacob who I changed to Israel, and I gave him a dress code. Remember what he says in 15:37-39. He gave you a dress code, children of Israel. And you gonna pass on number mine? Look what the man said at number 15, 37-39. What did he say, mother? He gave you a dress code, he gave you a day to worship him on. He said, get in where you fit in at. And you paying this man on number mine on all his power. Look what he got written in number 15, 37-39. What did he say, mother?
Let me get back there. Numbers chapter 15, 37-39. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37-39. Verse 37. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 38. Spake unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue. 39. And it shall be unto you for a friend, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring. Verse 40.
You might look good. You might look good wearing your days and dues and all the stuff of the world, but you don't look good to Yahweh. Because Yahweh is the children of Israel, the Israel a dress code. 22:12 of Deuteronomy. You might look good. Oh, I look good to my better half. I look good to my friends when I'm on my job, but you look ugly to Yahweh. I thought it's about Yahweh's business. You're looking ugly to him because he gave you a dress code. He gave one people of the Bible a dress code, the children of Israel, fringes. Put fringes. And how you put them on your clothes, he'll tell you what to do. You ain't got to guess about nothing. 22:12, what did he say?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22:12. Thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their vest, wherewith have covered thyself.
And you don't be putting on no miniskirts. You put it on something and you cover yourself with your fringes. See what the man saying? So who are you trying to please? When you going to please this man that made you, that say, I have mercy on who I want to have? When you going to please him? He gave you nothing. Everybody was of one color, all shades of brown. Esau was the only one with the strange look, the red. But he gave you fringes. The rest for you to know that's you. And look what he said in Jeremiah 46:27-28, mother. Jeremiah 46:27-28. Let me show you the benefits of what Yahweh is telling you. You must don't want Yahweh's blessing, do you? He said the children of Israel, the Israelites, Moses bid them, tell them, put fringes on as long as they live. You put fringes on the babies. You let them grow into fringes. When they go to school, when they see your fringes, when they start laughing, you know, and your babies get happy. I don't know what you're laughing for. You the fool. You ain't got no friends. I got protection of y'all. Why these friends on? See, you got prepared, built them up. You'll be proud to wear your friends because you got the power of Yahweh walking with you. And you don't want that? You want that for your child? Huh?
Yes.
For your child, if they got some presence on you, and it says Yahweh, be upon the power of Yahweh. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You got to do what Yahweh saying. Jeremiah 46:27-28. Listen good. What is it, mother?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 46, verse 27 and verse 28. Verse 27. But fear not, my servant Jacob. And be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Verse 28.
If you get this man right, you ain't got to worry about all this stuff that we go through every day. The man right. said, listen, you put the fringes on. You do just say it's Yahuwah. You're the first one in class, the last one to leave. You get in where you fit in at. Yahuwah said, I got a blessing for you. You see what the man is saying? He said, I'm going to save you when I can recognize you. I can't recognize you, and you ain't got the name of Israel at the end of your name. You ain't got to go ask Mr. Charlie nothing. You let the check stay like you getting it. But when you're among anybody other than your paycheck, what is your name? My name is Israel. My name is whatever the slave master gave me in the beginning or whatever, but at the end of my name is Israel. What you with some fringes on? I got the blessing of Yahuwah with me these fringes on. That's why I got them on. I want to make sure I'm among the blessing one of Yahuwah. The fringes is the blessing. Don't you want your blessing? Don't you want your child to have a blessing? You put them in fringes while they weighing down there. Somebody says in Isaiah, go to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. Let me show you the power you got when you got your fringes on. When you got the fringes on you, in Leviticus 26, verse 8, let me show you what that means by having your fringes on, keeping the Sabbath day, first one in, last one leave. Leviticus 26, verse 8, what it say?
Okay. Leviticus 26. Verse 8 reads, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. And five of you shall chase a hundred, and a hundred of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemy shall fall.
You hear the man saying, mother? When you got your fringes on, five of you can chase them. Oh, well, let me see. Let's make it a little more plain. Let's run to Isaiah 60, verse 22, and a closing statement. So you see what the man is trying to tell you. Children, the Israelites. See Isaiah 60, verse 22, mother, in the closing statement.
60.
Listen, you ain't got no fringes on. Why you not keeping the Sabbath day? Why you not letting your offspring just say Yahuwah, the Israelites? You're holding your own blessing up. Not doing what this man got written in his Bible. Look what the man told Isaiah to write in 60, verse 22 in the closing statement. What he got written, mother?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 22 reads, Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Yahuwah, will hasten it in his time.
Did the man say? Give me one more, mother. Give me one more. Give me one more. Give me Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, the closing statement. That's it. We can go on and on with that. See,
32,
listen. 34. Don't form against you in 54:17 going to work if you keep in the Sabbath day, feast day, land your presence. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, and closing statement. I'm through with it, mother. I had enough for tonight.
Okay,
32, verse 30, Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30, read. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. How shall one chase a thousand, and two put 10,000 to fight? Except that wrath has sold them, and the Yahuwah had shut them up.
You see that? Yahuwah said,